everybody, welcome back. It's week two. Today, this is going to be the, I believe it's the January 9th edition for 2014 of the Video Destruct Podcast. We're back. No Eric this time. It's just going to be me, Dave Rocky. You can call me Hoss. My buddy Brandon Jones. I guess I'm the editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
Over at videodestruct.com, and Brandon is our head technologist.
Yeah, I guess so.
I really appreciate everybody for liking the page on Facebook and downloading the podcast. We apparently had a couple of issues.
Yeah.
With some people having problems with Firefox and an M4A encoding that we had used. So we're changing everything over to MP3, and yeah. By the time you hear this, everything should be good to go on that. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed last week. I mean, obviously, you didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Back again.
Yeah, it's back again.
Suckers.
We got it.
But, this week, we've got a pretty short podcast. I mean, it's, we're still coming in very early in the year. CES is going on right now, and that place is a...
Here's the thing. I didn't know what that was until Haas told me. So
the reason why you may not know what CES is, the Consumer Electronics Show, is that back... I'm going to give you a history lesson.
Okay.
Before E3.
Yeah.
There was only Consumer Electronics Show.
Okay, yeah.
That's where all the video games were.
Sure.
And then they split off E3, and it was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And pretty much video games have kind of walked away from there. Right around the launch of consoles, though, you tend to see them there because it's a new consumer electronics device.
Sure.
The last real big kind of splash that has happened was when the PlayStation 3 started streaming 3D Blu-ray and 3D games and stuff like that. It was around the same time that Sony and a couple other companies were really pushing 3D TVs.
Yeah,
that was their big way to try to figure out how to angle another $3,000 out of you for a TV. Now they've abandoned all that. Believe it or not, most 4K TVs, their new way to try to get money out of you, don't do 3D.
Oh,
everybody's so just throwing that away.
Rightfully so.
So the 73-inch Mitsubishi 3D TV, I had useless. PlayStation 4 doesn't even do it.
Wow, there you go.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
But
how much did they sink in for that?
So. I got a deal on them Black Friday. Well, I don't care. I didn't buy it for the 3D.
Still works as a TV, at least. So
no, actually, it burnt out.
Really?
No, it works.
Okay,
that's good. It's like one,
huh? It's funny because it hasn't been on since I've been here today. So
no, it's just like once the company said no more 3D, the TV just went. Oh, I connect to the internet now. I'm dead.
Oh.
But yeah, like 3D is kind of over. 4K is the big thing this year. Don't care about 4K. Don't care how realistic your TVs are.
What is 4K? Is that
just 1080p?
Okay, gotcha.
It's four times the lines of 1080p.
Just say 1080p.
Well, it's four times the lines of 1080p.
Well, all right.
It's 4K. Well, it's 4000p.
Well, okay, then whatever. I don't know.
Do you want to say 4000p?
Well, I don't know. I hate all of the technological BS words that people come up with. When megapixels came up, that really annoyed the piss out of me.
Is this phone 4 megapixels?
I know. I'm saying it's like because I'm a graphic designer by trade. That's what I've always done. I know what DPI is. I know what that is, and I understand that. I couldn't tell you what a megapixel is. No one's ever told me.
It's a pixel, but it's mega.
Yeah, clearly.
It's way bigger.
Yeah, it's way bigger than a regular pixel, right?
It's like playing a TurboGrafx-16. You're like, the pixels
are huge on there.
Yeah.
That's some big pixels.
This thing's got some big pixels.
That's some megapixels in that.
Oh, man. Let's hook up my TurboGrafx-16 and stop making this podcast.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
All right, show's over, everybody.
Show's over. We're going to play
4 minutes.
Going to play that. This is Famicom.
I have a Turbo Duo. Play CDs.
Nice.
Because, I'm weird like that.
Right. Why not?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Do you want to play some Dracula X in traditional Japanese and no idea what to do?
I would love to play some Dracula X.
I can hook you up with that.
Yes.
But more importantly than that...
Okay.
Hard to believe there's anything more important than the TurboGrafx nowadays.
Who would think?
Sony unveiled their new streaming service today. The official name slips my mind. They call it PlayStation whatever. Here's the basic idea. Whenever they unveiled the PS4, they said, all right, thing's not backwards compatible at all. Sorry?
That seems to be the thing for the new generation of consoles.
And Microsoft's approach was just like a big fat middle finger, like... Well, Sony gave you the traditional line that I always felt like was just going to be a great big heaping bag of bullshit.
Yeah.
They were like, no, we bought this company, Gaikai, and we're going to have select streaming of our games to the PS4, and it's going to be a unified experience. It's going to let all your PlayStation... Don't care. Like that just sounded like a big line of crap to me. Well, apparently, most of this is true.
Okay.
Except, you know, they're starting the beta this spring, and apparently by mid-year, it's going to be a thing where you can use their Gaikai streaming, which they've got some fancy name for, to basically stream what they're calling select PS3 games and their catalog of PS1 and PS2 games.
Okay.
Directly to your PS3, and the PS4 will be at some point around there, too. Vita as well.
Yeah.
The Vita will be able to stream that now, which is cool because like the Vita kind of already does a good deal of that. Like it'll play PS1 games if you own them on your PSN account. It will already play those, but it won't play your PS2 stuff.
Okay,
which is a bit of a shame.
That is a shame.
But now with the streaming service, as long as you're within the range of internet, you can go ahead and do that.
That's pretty cool.
And the one thing I would say about streaming, especially to the Vita, that I've had so far in a contained environment with fast internet and fast Wi-Fi is that streaming a 60 frames per second game, like, say, Rezogun to your Vita from your PS4, that game only runs at, like, 30 frames, if that, per second when you stream that.
Sure.
And there's input lag.
Yeah, so...
And you're taking a Twitch game and making it run like crap.
So not
or
fast.
You're taking a game like Assassin's Creed 4 and streaming that to a system that doesn't have enough buttons.
Yeah.
So you end up having to do like virtual buttons with the back touch panel or the front touch screen to simulate your buttons. It's not a very awesome experience. But for PS3 and PS4 users who are going to be streaming, you know, PS1, PS2, PS3 games to their no PS4 stuff. You're not going to be able to digitally stream your PS4 games or anything like that through that specific service.
Yeah.
You know, kind of forego purchasing to stream that way or anything like that. So, yeah, like, details are still kind of up in the air. Sony just kind of came out and said, all right, so here's what we're doing. Drop the mic. Before anybody asks questions, leave. Get out of here.
Get out. Get out. We're done. We're done.
Get Kaz Hirai in the truck.
Show's over. Show's over. Put it up.
That's really all we know. I think that can be totally awesome.
Yeah.
But I still stand by my statement that, you know, the broad range of people who have broadband internet.
Yeah.
A significant amount of people who have broadband high-speed internet.
Sure.
I don't know if they have upload and download speeds that are fast enough for the input lag to not be like it was on Live.
Yeah.
Did you ever try OnLive?
I never did try OnLive, no.
OnLive was the PC equivalent to this.
Sure.
It was kind of in vogue about 4 years ago. I think it was 2008, 2009.
Sure.
When that service came about. I actually bought in, you know, played some games. You know, and like Burnout Paradise was on there, and it looked great.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it just even in that game, like... you know, that is a Twitch game.
Yeah.
You know, that is a very fast-paced, you know, knee-jerk kind of movement game. I don't think internet speed is there now. Because my internet is only 10 megs faster than it was then.
Sure.
And it was bad then to stream that. But I think for your RPGs, I think for your less intense games, I just don't tend to play a lot of stuff that's not timing intensive. I like my games to be fairly demanding in nature, fast. I play a lot of racing games. I play a lot of shooters.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that at any point in the near future that's going to be a viable option for those. But yeah, you know, like there's, especially if you go back to the PS1, you know, like Vagrant Story or, you know, Final Fantasy VII or, you know, like, you know, go to the PS2, you know, Persona 3, Persona 4, great RPGs that timing don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's, well, Vagrant Story, they're, yeah, Vagrant Story had a lot of timing stuff. That's a bad idea.
Probably wouldn't have that on there, yeah.
Maybe Valkyrie Profile was what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I think you could be doing with this streaming, but they didn't say anything about pricing.
Yeah.
They said mid-year.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not giving you any more money a month, Sony.
Right.
You know, I bought into PlayStation Plus. It's great. I love it. You give me free stuff.
I hear Plus is a pretty good service. My roommate bought into Plus.
Best deal.
And you really get what you pay for.
Like, best deal in gaming, man. Like, you know, I've been a Plus member since the day it rolled out.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just keep giving me stuff.
Yeah. Free.
You know, I mean,
free things. Yeah,
it has never let me down. I've been a big fan of the service. Everything from small $5 games,
sure,
PlayStation 1 classics,
older games. Here's Shadow of the Colossus for you.
Yeah,
enjoy that.
Eco's on there now. Yeah. You know, to full disc-based games.
Yeah,
like Borderlands 2 is up right now.
Sure, sure.
And this month they're giving away DMC Devil May Cry, the one that came out last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that. Granted, that game's only like $30 now, but who cares? It's free.
It's free.
You know,
yeah.
BioShock Infinite, free.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you've not played BioShock Infinite, you should probably play that game. they tend to put a lot of games on there on the Plus service that are full disc-based games.
Yeah.
For games that have DLC that's out.
Okay.
That they want to sell you. So think about it. Like, if you got that free copy of Borderlands 2,
yeah,
for $60 for the DLC out for Borderlands 2,
yeah,
go and pay for that. Burial at Sea just came out for BioShock, and the second episode comes out later. So you play BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
You go out and buy that season pass for $30. So they're still getting money back out of it.
Yeah. So why would you buy into this new thing? I mean, you got the Plus. It's
streaming a lot of stuff that I've already played before. I really, you know, there's a lot of like Super Nintendo games that I love to go back to play.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of original Nintendo games. Like if Nintendo did a service like this, I would fall over my own wallet to throw it at
just
them.
Just throw it, yeah.
Like, right. I've been saying this for years. Ever since the Virtual Console came around, it's like,
right,
I don't know if I want to pay $6 this, for this Neo Geo game.
Yeah.
But, dude, if you let me give you $15 a month to play whatever I want.
To play with all these
awesome
things. Yeah.
I would give it to you in perpetuity forever.
For all these things. The Virtual Console's opened up so much for Nintendo to start doing things like that and opening up their old library like they used to do. Earthbound hit, such a wall for a long time there, like, because they were so ravaged by the poor sales after sinking so much money into that thing, and then it just didn't do well. They just decided they had no faith in Earthbound in a U.S. market at all. And they never re-released anything. No, you know, out of all the things that were getting re-releases and new things, never did it. Finally, the Virtual Console.
On the Wii U.
On the Wii U.
That was one of their big pushes for whenever they launched the Wii U.
And the Earthbound fans were singing praise. It was amazing that they actually re-released an Earthbound in HD.
Believe it or not, anecdotal evidence, but I know two people who came into the store that I work at to buy Wii U's to buy a $10 downloadable copy of Earthbound.
There you go.
I think that's evidence right there.
It's a huge...
They'll probably end up picking up other games, but he came in specifically that day because he wanted that.
Yeah. It's a huge cult following.
Yeah.
It's not a moneymaker, but it is a cult following. People are driven by that game.
Well, and they just, if Nintendo realizes anything, it kind of realizes that, that niche market, that more ardent fan...
Sure.
Is needed to be pulled back into the fold a little bit more to supplement their families, children, things like that. There's always going to be enough of those people around to float a handheld.
Yeah.
But in the home market, you really need to start leaning into your more hardcore, your legacy kind of fans.
Sure.
Because think about this. We're a nation that's raising children.
Yeah.
That the parents were playing games when they were kids.
Yes.
So if you think about like a parent that's raising a kid, if you can pull them back into the Nintendo fold, the system that they give their kid is going to be a Nintendo system. Odds are.
Yeah.
First of all, it's probably the most appropriate system for them.
For a kid.
But
also,
like, in exciting them about like, oh man, I need to get my kid into games. Let's get them a Nintendo system. I think that's what Nintendo definitely needs. If they've got any hope of keeping in this race.
Yeah.
They need to shore that up. And I think, doing things like Earthbound is a great idea. But, man, a virtual console marketplace.
Right? Yeah, that'd be cool.
With a subscription service.
I would probably, for the first time in a long time, buy a new generation console if I got to play, classic games like that all the time for a monthly fee.
I think upwards of a base price of $20 a month, and then you cut a deal if you buy it a year at a time or something.
Yeah.
I think that's about, what your threshold is. But that I think that makes movement for me. That inspires me to get excited in a way that I don't know if I've necessarily been about Nintendo in a while.
Yeah.
And I think this is pretty forward thinking of Sony. And You know, granted, I said earlier that, you know, OnLive had done this first and had problems, but somebody has to try something first with a smaller company and fail a lot of times.
True.
For a big company to notice an opportunity and come through with a library and with an installed base and have this make sense. The craziest thing about this PlayStation service that I forgot to mention is that it'll work on tablets, cell phones, and Bravia televisions as well. So you'll just sync a controller to your TV. I can't believe I forgot to say that part. But yeah. And, well, I mean, they have released a spec. I've got one. It's a MOGA something.
Okay.
Game controller for my cell phone.
Okay.
I've got a Galaxy S4. And yeah, they've released spec for the iPhone and for Android phones. So this is only streaming.
Yeah.
All you need to be doing is sending an input through a signal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that just like FaceTime with an iPhone, they may require you to be on Wi-Fi and not 4G.
Right.
Because I think that would just eat data alive.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I think this could be really cool. I mean, that's really the only news that's going on right now other than, I don't know, we got televisions and...
What to do? We got a new tablet from... Microsoft.
Oh, dude. The other thing I'd mention is Michael Bay walking off stage.
Oh, I did see that. I saw that, yes.
Everybody's seen that video at
Utter
this point. But
fail. Hilarious.
Here's the one thing I'll say. Yeah. If I had to throw a dart at a board, I bet here's what happened.
Yeah.
They wrote Michael Bay in and say, we're going to have everything that you want on this, you know, on this teleprompter.
Yep.
It's going to say everything that you need to say, because he's still filming Transformers right now.
Right, yeah.
Odds are he got off a plane, had no look at a script,
right.
And walked on stage, and somebody asked him a question, and there's nothing up there, and he's like, dude, I got to go.
Well, they said the prompter, you know, went off.
Yeah.
Because they had the prompter up, he said, well, the prompter kind of crapped out, I'll just wing it. And then he was like, I'm not going to wing this.
No, he's probably on, like, no sleep.
Yeah, just like, it's like he tried to for, like, a second and then realized, like, I got nothing.
I'm in a room of 3,000 people and I have no idea what to say.
I got nothing. The worst part...
Well, he probably didn't even know what the product was that he was trying to shill.
Right, yeah.
Like, I know they were going to show a Transformers trailer, but...
Yeah.
What else was he supposed to say?
Exactly.
And like, was he supposed to say, this Samsung camera gives me the ability to,
I don't know. The show host was the best part because he was just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And like, just complete, like, well. That's...
His calming voice at first to Michael was, okay, yeah, we're having a little trouble. It's going to be okay. And then Michael looks at him and goes, okay, yeah, we're going to be fine. And the guy asks him the next question, and he just starts sweating the bullets immediately and goes, oh, F this, I gotta go.
I gotta go, I'm sorry. It was pretty fail-boat.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's probably the two best stories out of CES this year, other than our new cell phone has more megapixels. Like,
yeah,
I don't care. Like, and I said this on my Facebook earlier today, and I stand by this. I could not give a hot shit about new cell phones or new TVs.
Yeah, I don't care.
Don't care. I used to be hot and heavy all over this stuff. Like, oh, look at these new screens. Dude, don't care. Whatever.
Yeah.
I bought this Galaxy phone and realized that cell phones actually just suck.
Yeah.
And I don't like them.
Yeah, I've never bought into that. I think the first time I saw an iPhone, I was like, my eyes bugged out. I was like, holy crap, that's cool. That's amazing. That's the first time I ever really wanted a phone before, because I never really cared for a cell phone. Never have. I finally got one because necessity, kind of, yeah, I'm getting into freelance graphic design a lot. I still have a full-time job, and I'm getting freelance a lot. I needed a phone. I needed a phone to be with all the time. I couldn't stand the landline anymore. I was tired of idiots calling me.
You had a landline up until very recently.
I still had a landline. My parents still do have a landline. Funny thing. My dad's never not going to, he's never going to get a phone.
I wouldn't have a problem with having a landline if it was really a landline.
Yeah, what do you mean?
They're not landlines anymore.
Well,
they're
all internet. Yeah.
So here's the thing.
It's all internet, yeah.
But if, like, your cable goes out, the phone would still work. If the internet goes out, or the cable, or the power goes out, the phone doesn't work.
Yeah.
That was the nice thing about having a landline, was that it was still a phone
still
if the power went out.
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
At this point, I've been talking about building a ham radio.
Yeah, mine went through cable, obviously. Building a ham radio. That's a big hobby for a lot of people. Yeah,
I've been thinking about doing it lately, man. Yeah. I, bought that bug-out bag last year.
Yeah, that's true.
I...
didn't know you had
a bug out. My family thinks I'm a crazy person.
I didn't know you had a bug out
bag. Yeah, I got a bug out bag.
Eric loves adding to his bug out bag all the time.
Yeah.
He's all about that thing.
Yeah, I got weird spaceman food in there. And,
whatever.
For some reason, it was just a weird hobby. It's like, well, I got this bag, and then I put a bedroll on it, and then it's like, I'm going to put some stuff in it.
Yeah, that's how Eric does it. It's just a hobby. You know, it's all it is.
At this point, like, I've ran out of stuff. Like, I can't put any more in this bug out bag. She's full.
See how this economy's going? Well, might as well get a bug out bag.
So I thought, like, well, what if I build, like, a home, ham?
Sure.
Get my license.
Yeah.
And then build a handheld ham that would actually, transmit back to my home tower.
Right.
Yeah. So I could annoy my neighbors with a giant...
What's your 20? Big dog?
I don't have a license yet, so I can't get a handle.
You know, whatever. How many candles you burning?
I bought a book on how to get a license.
You know how many candles you're burning means?
No.
It means how old are you?
I guess that makes sense.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
This is the worst conversation in a video game podcast.
It is pretty bad.
I'll keep you guys updated on the ham.
Yeah.
Radio. I go for some ham.
I go for some ham, too.
Oh,
I'll keep you updated on
these radios are delicious.
Yeah, delicious.
But, so that's kind of...
it's a radio that cooks a ham.
Yeah, that's really about it as far as, kind of hobbies are going right now. I mean, I haven't really played that many video games lately. Just posted a big review on the site. Panning!
Yeah.
Halo Assault, Spartan Assault.
You destroy that game.
If we don't have a rating system set up yet, but if you say we had like an A to F review system, that's a D.
That's a D.
It maintains nothing that's special about the Halo games other than the music, and it's all just reruns of stuff you've heard before. It's nothing special. All the assets are plucked directly from the tablet game.
Sure.
So, on an Xbox One, it looks bad.
Yeah.
It looks blown up.
Yeah.
The menus just... They're all uninspired and ugly. You'll see a lot of... Even as far away as that camera is, it's a top-down dual joystick kind of shooter. Even as zoomed out as that camera is, a lot of those textures just look like ass.
Yeah.
Blown up to a big TV. It's kind of like blowing a YouTube video
up to a TV. Giant, yeah, up to
and
a giant
just,
screen.
All the cracks show on there. And... I'm sure if I had a Microsoft Surface, first of all, I'd hate myself. But if I had a Microsoft Surface, I feel like with the virtual on-screen touch controls, it would feel close enough to a Halo, kind of experience. Like, this
sure.
is okay. But when you put that on a controller, it becomes in, like, stark reality how imprecise, even with thumbsticks, the aiming is. What I really felt like you needed, and I mentioned this in the review, is... A red laser coming off your dude, like Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid. Remember the original game?
I do.
Whenever you would pull up your gun, there would be that red laser. So that you didn't waste a shot.
Sure.
And this thing, it's just, especially if you're trying to aim grenades, which are incredibly imprecise, it's just, and that game, it doesn't follow the traditional formula that dual joystick shooters do of just fire tons of bullets all the time.
Exactly,
They're conservative on ammo. You're constantly getting stuck with bad weapons, if you're just trying to dump on people all the time.
Sure.
It's a bad game. It's ugly. It's too expensive. It's got bad microtransaction stuff. A completely incomprehensible story. And I'm up on all the Halo fiction. Yeah. I've read books. I've played all the games. I'm way into the fiction. Watched all the crappy movies and that terrible anime piece of garbage and read one of the big comic book trade paperbacks, and I still don't know what's going on in that game.
That all ties back in.
And they're like, oh, it takes place between Halo 3 and 4. It's going to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Other than the USS Infinity being there, I have no idea what's happening. And that, add on top of that, you revisit most of the levels like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
In a 30 mission game.
So that's like 3 levels that you just.
There's like 5 or 6.
It's like 5 or 6 new things that you do, maybe?
Yeah. It's like, because there's 6 tiers, 5 levels per, so
that's
I'd say there's 5 levels.
That's a shame, because as you just illustrated, you're a Halo guy.
That game is a piece of hot garbage.
Well, there you go. I think that wraps
it
up.
Yeah, I feel like I needed to say that like on a podcast format.
For the third time. You also have an audio review of that coming
up. Yeah, I've got an audio review of that.
So we've got a written review, an audio review, and a rant on the podcast this week. That is a... That is a bad game.
Yeah, I felt like my audio review was too tame because it was mainly just for our viewers that you know, don't really have enough time to keep up on the site and read everything.
Yeah.
You know, Daryl Rischel, big shout out to him. He had recommended that we do some audio reviews for people to listen to in the in their car, you know, in a podcast format, you know, on their way to work.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really good idea. We're going to try it, do some of these, try to get it lively, maybe add some, you know, some sound to it, you know, something a little bit more ambient, make it fun, and maybe do some video stuff with it too down the road.
Yeah.
But I thought audio podcast was a great idea. So thanks, Daryl, and hopefully some of you guys like listening to that. But I finished off Halo, wrote the review. I played a lot more Call of Duty Ghosts. I think that game's awesome.
Yeah.
Whenever I get like 20 minutes, I tend to sit down with that game. It's the first Call of Duty that I've actually played a lot of.
Okay.
In probably the last like 4 years.
COD.
Since Modern Warfare 2, I feel like this is the first one I've really spent a lot of time with. I've beaten all the campaigns leading up to this.
Sure.
With the exception of Black Ops 2, I thought the campaign was kind of bad, even though most people loved it, but I couldn't get into it. But yeah, like Ghosts, I really love the campaign in that game, unlike most people, and love the alien invasion mode in there. It's way better than zombies because zombies are dumb.
Yeah.
And yeah, played a little bit more of that. I feel like we're retreading a little bit here.
Sure.
But one other game, actually two games I wanted to talk about that I didn't mention last week on the show, that if you haven't played, I really think that you should. First one is Guacamelee.
Guacamelee,
fantastic game. It's a cross-buy game, so if you've got a PS3 and a Vita, you only have to buy it once, and it works on both consoles.
That's cool.
I've beaten that game on both consoles. It's absolutely fantastic.
Really? What's that game like?
It's... All right, I don't want to blow your mind here. It's Castlevania.
Okay.
But you're a luchador.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so you're this dude, you know, you're kind of a nobody in your town, you know, Mexican village.
Okay.
You know, the girl in town, you know, the president's daughter, she likes you. She invites you up to, you know, El Presidente's castle.
Okay.
You go over there, and she gets abducted on Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah.
The Day of the Dead.
Dia de los Muertos.
And, like demons from the deep abduct her.
That sounds...
And send you to the nether realm, and you become an effing luchador.
That sounds amazing.
And the great thing is, that game, not only does it do the open world kind of... instead of just being a castle, it's like a whole open world kind of Castlevania thing.
Sure.
It also does a flip between the nether realm and the living world.
Okay, yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
Now, to preface this, when you say a Castlevania game, you mean like the Symphony of the Night type?
Yeah.
Okay, so like the Metroidvania type
yes.
One? Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
probably should have said Metroidvania.
That's fine, A lot of people hate that term anyway, but... Whatever.
What else are you going to call
it? What are you going to call it? You know, you backtrack.
Shadow Complexy? I mean,
Metroid's way better. It doesn't matter. It's still very Metroid-ish.
It plays like one of those.
Yeah. They even flip the map upside down at one point. Metroid does that too. So anyway.
But yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Guacamelee is one of my top 10 favorite games of last year.
That actually sounds amazing to me. And
it's worth playing every minute of it.
There you go.
I cannot recommend many small games like that much higher.
Yeah.
And for it to, you know, knock a game like Saints Row 4 off my top 10 list from last year.
Sure.
You know, it means something because I love that stupid game.
Yeah.
Now another game that made my top 10 list that a lot of people haven't played, Divekick.
Divekick, yes.
Divekick! I like that game a lot. That game's totally awesome, and here's my pitch for you on Divekick.
Okay.
It's the best part of any fighting game you've ever seen.
The Divekick, I would say?
Well, it's...
Yeah.
It's one-hit kills.
Yes.
And it's, you know, best out of 9.
Yeah.
So you got to get 5 wins.
5 wins.
And it's single-hit kills.
And a single-hit kill.
And the best pitch from Dave Lang, one of the guys that's one of the directors on the game,
right,
is that imagine that your character has 1,000 health and every kick does 1,000,000 damage. And the game somehow, it's only got 2 buttons.
That is
you
so
don't move back and forth.
Yep.
You know, there's no D-pad or analog stick or anything like that.
There's only a jump.
Dive, which is jump,
yeah,
which so that doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Dive means jump,
yeah,
and kick.
And
the cool thing is, if you hit the kick button while you're standing still on the ground, It's a backstep button.
It's a backstep button, yes.
And there are certain configurations that you can hit the buttons to do a couple of special moves. Everybody has some, like, I tend to play Markman or the Baz. Baz is a really creative character. Mm-hmm. He doesn't actually hit you.
Yeah.
He leaves a lightning trail when he dive kicks.
Okay.
And you have to hit the lightning trail. If he hits you, it doesn't do any damage. You have to get hit by the lightning.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different types of characters in there. It's a cheap download. It's on the PS3 and the Vita. And that's a cross-buy between PS3 and Vita. And it's also going to be on the PS4 and the Xbox One.
That's nice. That's pretty good.
So no matter where you play that game, buy that game and let me know where you have it, and I will gladly take you down with some Markman, son. I'll even take you down with Jafaeli, and he's basically useless.
That's what's interesting is I actually have something to say about this one, because I played this first time when I was at C2E2, which was the Chicago Comic Entertainment Expo.
My favorite Star Wars robot.
Absolutely. Chicago Comic Entertainment Expo, when I was up there in Chicago, they had a giant display for this thing. It was a huge, giant double TVs display and two gigantic buttons. And it just drew me right to it. I was like, what is this? Dive kick. And I'm looking at the TV and they're not doing anything but kicking.
It's madness.
Diving and kicking. It's madness. And they only had two characters at the time, which was dive and kick. So and I had to play it. It was a load of fun. It's a testament to simplistic controls and design being utilized in the perfect way to make a fun experience.
All right, I'm going to sell you a little bit more.
Okay.
You mentioned dive. Yeah. And you mentioned kick.
I did. Yeah.
Kick is the best character in that game.
Yes.
Do you know why?
I picked Kick. Why is he the best character?
Did you play any of the single player in that game?
I did not. I just played the versus.
Did
on
you
the,
play
on
the single player in that game?
Yeah.
His entire story is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. His entire story is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And occasionally, whenever he wins a match, he will drop the mic.
Is he from West Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Born and raised.
On the playground where he spent most of his days.
That's crazy. Were there some guys in his hood that were up to no good?
They started making trouble in his neighborhood.
That's crazy.
He got one little fight. His mom got scared.
So,
moving with his auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
Uncle Phil just recently died.
He passed away. I would love to say that that Avery passed away. It's a massive
shame.
It's a damn shame. Uncle Phil, the Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace. You were the man.
Yeah.
You were the man.
I don't drop a lot of R.I.P.s on Facebook or anything, but when I heard that he died, I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I feel like if I would have been born 10 years earlier, he would have been my Bill Cosby.
Right, yeah.
See, I was a little bit young for the Cosby Show. It was on when I was young, but it was kind of in those twilight areas, and it didn't grab me.
Exactly.
But I was like an early 90s kid in Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our, our obituaries corner.
Shout out to him. Yeah.
But
rest in peace, Uncle Shredder.
Dive Kick and Guacamelee. Play those games if you haven't. I think they're absolutely phenomenal. And that's really all the games I have to talk about today.
Well,
what
you
do you got?
Well, I do have one that I was meaning to bring up. The opportunity never presented itself. You and Eric were going on about what you played. A lot of talk about zombies last week. I hate to bring that back in. I know we talked a whole lot about zombies. You expressed your love for Dead Rising 3. How good that game was. Eric expressed his love for DayZ and how much
he's been enjoying. Are you trolling me?
What are you talking about?
Why do I keep?
What
zombies?
Yeah, you like Dead Rising 3, if you'll recall.
I feel like this is like some kind of weird nothing against The Last of Us. I think it's a fantastic game, but I just keep getting pulled back into these conversations about zombies.
Well, sorry, they're everywhere. You're gonna get that. We got DayZ, which Eric is coming out with an article on the site for that one.
I think it's out.
Is it out already?
Should be up by the time you read it.
Should be up by the time. Okay, cool. So by the time this is out, that article should be up, and that's pretty cool. So he loves DayZ, you love Dead Rising 3. There's a zombie game that I played recently, one of the only games that I really play.
Zombies Ain't My Neighbors?
No, it's not.
That's a great game!
That is a great game. That's a great game. We should play that. But no, it's a tough game, too. I don't really play a whole lot of modern-day games, but when one really catches my eye, and this one really did, it seems so good. Of course, it's about zombies. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring it up. Well, they're not zombies; they're infected. They're zombies.
Moving
on. They're zombies. Okay, let's be. The Last of Us is a fantastic game from beginning to end. There's a few. It just what an experience that game is as a whole for the emotion you feel for those characters. I have never been so emotionally invested in a group of characters in a game for a long time. It stayed with me the whole time. It never felt like it was getting too crazy in that respect. There were a few levels that I thought were like, okay, there are ways. I understand you have to like kind of, you know, play to the mainstream and people want to kill hordes of zombies and, you know, you gotta have it. There's a few kind of snipery type scenes, not to spoil anything, where you're taking out a ton of zombies or a ton of people.
There's a great bit in the, what I would describe as the first act of that game that involves you hanging upside down
yes,
in a garage.
Yes, one of the one of the best experiences I've ever had with a game. Freaked me out because I was playing at that time. I would trade off between me and my friend who had it because I don't own a PlayStation 3. We would trade off and I was playing at that moment and all of a sudden I have to remember how to use this gun but upside down.
Yeah.
So it was so amazing. I freaked out. I luckily didn't die on that area. It was really cool. What an awesome thing. They keep throwing little things like that at you too. Throughout the game, you'll have like little experiences like that. Like they'll give you the basics. You have to do this. You have to do this. You've seen this. This is a puzzle. You got to figure that out. Got to get Ellie up this. This canyon. You got to get Joel over here. You got to work all that stuff out. But then it'll hit you with one of those types of things where it's like, oh, you don't have any guns here at all, and there's guys with guns everywhere. Here's a piece of glass. You know, it's just like there's a few times where I really would have liked it if like they let you choose what to do in an area, because a lot of times it was just kind of like, you're going to have to gun out of here. That's it. There's no stealthing this area. These guys know you're here. You got to gun yourself out.
Yeah.
Which is a little annoying.
That's kind of one of the things I liked a bit more. Like, I was fairly vocally opposed to a couple of different parts of that game. Nothing game-breaking or anything, but one of my more vocal cries against the gameplay in The Last of Us is that the stealth parts are just, I felt like they were a little tired. They were a little well-tread.
Okay.
It was kind of a kid wearing its mom's shoes. Like,
yeah,
you know, it was standing in the shoes of other games that had done that exact thing better.
Sure.
And I found myself kind of waiting for the story bits to come back up because I found that a little bit tiresome.
Yeah.
Now, there are parts of that game that I think are absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And those parts are the one where, just like a great puzzle game or one of those find your way out puzzles on like a kid's menu at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Finding a way to get out of there without having to fight anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's great. If you give me a wide open courtyard and give me the opportunity to sort of like bang my head up against the wall for a little bit and figure out how to get out without fighting anybody.
Yes.
It's great because it's not that the combat is aggressively bad in that game. It's just that combat's not necessarily the way that you play that game.
And
it's not its strong suit.
Yeah, and it also has an atmosphere about it to where, you know, you don't really want to get...
Joel wouldn't want to do that.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to get injured because you're in this area of infected people.
We find out
later. Yeah. You're in this area of infected people. Things are, you know, going down. You wouldn't want to put yourself in a risk of, in a story type of way, of risking getting cut or shot. Because medicine is not prominent. It's post-apocalyptic almost. You know, there's a sanctioned government. You only get this much supplies for your area, et cetera, et cetera. You wouldn't want to fight your way out. You'd want to be sneaky about it. And there are parts where you just kind of have to take the shot. And it's kind of annoying because I just don't think that's the way you would play it. Especially in one area where it's impossible to sneak past a group of clickers, which are a form of zombie in the game.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to get past this part without gunning some of them down. You're not even able to open the door unless you gun them down.
Yeah.
And that's a little annoying because I think the best way to get through that would be to...
You talking
not
about the underground subway sequence?
The underground subway sequence.
That part, right.
Yeah, it's all right, but it's just kind of like, I really want to get past
this. It's the first opportunity where And it's one of the opportunities in that game. Like, I still haven't quite finished that game yet. I think a lot of parts about it are great. I grew a little tired with it, but I feel like for me to be any kind of game journalist whatsoever, I feel kind of obligated to have to finish that game.
Yeah.
But that was one of the few opportunities in that game where early on they gave you the opportunity to open up, fire, and gave you enough resources for that to be something that you needed to do, something you were encouraged to do. And have them be satisfying.
Sure, sure.
Because too often in that game, I was playing that game on hard. Maybe that was the problem. I wasn't dying a lot, but I just didn't want to die.
Yeah.
So it made too much of it just become, once again, just banging my head up against that wall.
Yeah.
And just basically like sidling along a wall, banging until I hear a 2x4. And that's the way that I played that entire game. And it just made what should be a 12-hour game.
Yeah, way longer.
Way longer. I'm not even halfway through that game, and I've already well eclipsed that 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I need to return to that game. Maybe I'll bump the difficulty down. Maybe I'll just go ahead and tough through it. But I'm really fascinated by what I've seen there.
Yeah.
The, you know, if it's one tribute to that game's storytelling at all, I would gladly say whether that game had the fighting system it has now or the best fighting system you've ever seen,
right,
I think you would still be dying to get to the next story bit.
Yes.
The way that they do it, the emotion, the pathos, the way that they deliver that dialogue in that game is gut-wrenching at times.
There were times in that game where I stressed at a part, the subway one being one, because I kept dying. I stressed to get to it because I wanted to know what was going to happen next. I honestly did. I wanted to get to that next point in the game. I really did, because the way they flesh out character, the way they reveal things about characters, no spoilers here, absolutely not. It would be a crime to spoil this game. But the end of that game is one of the most, when it says it will test your humanity, it's not joking. It's not hyperbole when they say that. An obvious, well, it's kind of hyperbole because it's a video game. But the characters in the game are a testament to that testing your humanity thing. And it's so powerful the way it just reflects back on the player. And
I think one thing we should do, once I finish that game, I'm going to go back to it shortly. Because there's really not a ton coming out until like the end of the first quarter of this year. Like March looks pretty packed. You know, there's Dark Souls 2 is coming out.
Dark Souls 2.
Titanfall comes out same day as Dark Souls 2.
Same day, yeah. That's right.
Which, I think both of those games look incredibly promising.
Mm-hmm.
On two completely different sides of the spectrum, there's the new Infamous game. It's a February or March. So there's a few things, but it's mainly towards the end of this first quarter. So I think what I'll do this month is go ahead and finish up The Last of Us. I think we should do a spoiler show.
Yeah. You think a spoiler show?
Yeah. I think we should do a spoiler show and just kind of, you know, just put a ton of spoiler tags all over it of, you know, go ahead and finish this game, then we'll talk about it.
Sure.
And, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about that game. The music, you know, the delivery, the dialogue, the way that everything flows together in that game is really special.
Yeah.
And for anybody who's played the game, I'm in Pittsburgh at this point, I think.
Yeah, okay, Pittsburgh. Sure.
So, sure. I don't know. I'll go ahead and get
through
that game.
You got a long way to go.
Yeah. maybe I'm
map-wise. I think you're a little bit half over the game. I think
I don't know.
I think you're a little bit.
I'm playing it.
Yeah, I think you're a little bit half over it. Maybe just about the half mark.
Huh?
Actually, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, from what I've heard, I'm around halfway, is what people say. So, but everybody's measurement on that's fairly different.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, you know, and that's really all I've played. I'm going to try to finish Mario 3D World this week.
Sure.
I want to put a review up on the side of that. But I think the accolades of that have already been addressed to a large degree. As you've maybe noticed with my Halo Spartan Assault review, it's been a while since I've written reviews on a pretty regular basis, and I'm still a little bit shaky with my form right now. I'll get back into fight and wait again with that. So I think writing as many as I can right now is probably what I'll be doing. But, you know, play some video games. There's a lot of stuff out there right now.
Yep.
Brandon, you got anything else to add today?
No, just play some games. Let us know on the Facebook page what you've been playing. What's really caught your eye? Maybe something caught your eye at the CES. That's it. Yeah, I'm born for this.
Still don't know what that is.
I just not just going right over my head. Maybe something caught your eye there that we missed. Maybe something game related. Probably not. Just he's shaking his head.
You haven't missed anything. We just gave you all the info.
Maybe you went to MAGFest over this weekend. MAGFest happened. I would love to go to MAGFest one year.
Is that a lot of people playing the MMO MAG?
No, it's just a video game and entertainment con that's held up. I want to say in Ontario, Canada. It's up in Canada. Moreover, towards the Washington area, I believe. If that's completely wrong, I will have an addendum to this. But
Canada.
Yeah, Canada. You know, but yeah, it looks like a whole bunch of fun. A lot of people, a lot of celebrities in the gaming world go there, and
I would totally go. I'll say this right now: I would totally go to a gaming convention, even though I think gaming conventions are dumb. Yeah. I would totally go to a gaming convention in Canada. You know why?
Why is that?
Hockey.
Yeah.
Molson. Drink a bunch of Molsons.
A lot of Molsons at the hockey
game.
Tell you
what, next year...
You're going to go to Molsons.
We're going to go to MAG next year.
Going to MAGFest?
Going to MAG.
All right, I'll go to MAGFest.
I'll bring my PS3 with me. Yeah. We'll play some MAG.
Awesome. Yeah, you know.
Maybe there'll be 255 other people there that really want to play some MAG.
To play some MAG.
And yeah, we will drink some Molsons.
Meet the game grumps, you know, all that stuff. Whatever.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, sounds like a thing to do.
Dude, we could street pass with so many people on my 3DS
You could do that. They do that all the time. Dudes trade Pokemon all the time. A lot of shinies going on. Whatever you call them. Shinies? Shiners? I don't know what that is. I've never played Pokemon.
It's a lot of people punching each other in the face. We got a lot of shiners.
A lot of shiners. Just people punching each other. Those Canadians. Violent.
I played enough Pokemon to know what a shiny is, but I've never had one.
Okay. Well, you go there, and you'll just trade. People give you shinies.
Yeah, that's good. Let's go to MAG.
Let's go to MAG. Get some shinies. All right, cool.
But yeah, I think one thing you may notice is that since we're on such short notice from the last podcast, we recorded that special one last weekend with Eric. I haven't had time to complete the World War Z homework yet.
Nah, yes.
But I do have that all in order. And for next week's episode, I will have watched World War Z.
Okay.
And we will talk about it on next week's podcast.
Should I watch it? Because I haven't watched that movie either.
Watch it with me.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. We'll watch it together.
Okay.
But we won't talk about it much.
We won't talk about it.
Because I want to save that for the show.
Okay.
I've got a coupon from, I think, my cable company for a free on-demand. So,
okay.
You and me.
Watching some World War Z.
Watching World War Z?
Why not?
This is a shit idea.
This is from Brad Pitt, you know.
All right.
It's Brad Pitt fighting zombies. Let's do the show.
Do it loud.
Do it loud?
Do it loud.
Doing it loud. I don't know how to do it loud.
That's a really bad way to end the podcast.
I'm sorry.
All right, we'll see you next week here on the Video Destruct Podcast.